This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We must stand with America's closest ally in the Middle East, with the people of Israel, with those held hostage by terrorists, and with their families. And we must condemn barbaric terrorists, their evil sponsors, and the legacy of hatred toward Jews that has stained world history for millennia.
And in the coming weeks, under my leadership, with the good support of Senator McConnell, who you heard from a few minutes ago, the United States Senate will do everything possible to help Israel win and totally eliminate the threat Hamas presents.
Yeah, that threat Hamas presents is growing stronger in this Israel-Hamas war. There are breaking moments as all of this leaves my lips. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, you just heard Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, two longtime senators. Schumer, liberal Democrat. Mitch McConnell, conservative Republican. They've known each other forever, obviously. You heard what they had to say about Israel. They're in agreement there. Here's where we stand at this point. One of the biggest things that happened and is now putting more pressure on Hamas and Israel is this hospital that was hit in Gaza, because now you have babies, young children, nurses, doctors, innocent people, 500 people dead. And Israel said, we're not hitting hospitals, we're not hitting schools, we're not doing any of that kind of stuff. We dropped leaflets, we told people to get out, but we're still not blasting a hospital. And they're saying, no, this was not us. Israel was taking the blame. Hamas was blaming them for leveling that hospital. And they said, no, we did not strike that. It was a failed rocket launch by the Islamic Jihad. That we don't intentionally strike any sensitive facilities, and definitely not hospitals. Gaza's been under siege for more than a week. That's a response to the deadly incursion by Hamas. Hospitals are struggling to tend to the wounded across the country, operating with shortages of electricity and water, and they vitally need humanitarian aid while Gaza's border is shuttering. There is big pressure to open that corridor from Egypt. The United Nations and others have said they need assurances of safe passage for any potential aid convoys. U.S. citizens, a lot of people are helping to get out U.S. citizens. Some are going to go by cruise ship to get to Cyprus first, and then get on the cruise ship and then come back home. There have been people that have hitched rides, gotten rides, flights have been arranged, but there are still a lot of Americans who are trying to get out of Israel. This is a breaking point. The president headed for the Middle East, but problems before even he landed. It is complicated. There have been some cancellations on the president, and the main thing is the Saudi prince. You go on down to the Jordan canceling his summit with Egypt and the Palestinian leaders because of what's happening. It's not happening. Some of the meetings are not happening because of that. A meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, that will happen. And then it's about trying to protect the president, pull him in and out, because this isn't usually, it would be shrouded in secrecy. It's not. It's known that he's there, that this is it, I'm coming and I'm here. Iran has said that they're going to take action. And when they're saying they're going to take action, they are also backing, of course, Hezbollah. And they're talking about Lebanon. You look at what's going on there, and that is also scary, because what is teetering there is the fact that things are closing in, and that's another border area with Israel. You have protesters attempting to storm the Israeli embassy in Amman. Dozens and dozens and dozens of angry protesters got through security force barriers and went toward the embassy. Ultimately, tear gas dispersed them, but it was looking really, really dicey. The tear gas was the thing that dispersed. Then you have thousands surrounding the American embassy in Lebanon. That's a huge development. Thousands of protesters. Thousands and thousands. I mean, just hours after the blast at the hospital, that's what started some of it. The U.S. has a do not travel advisory for Lebanon and authorized the departure of non-emergency personnel. Get out, is what I heard. They just get out, is what they're saying. Hours after the protest began. So you have a really more than lit situation. I mean, this is unprecedented what we're seeing. And between the protesters, between what's happening at the borders, between some of the horrors, the rage that's spreading, that's getting worse because of what happened in Israel, more videos are being released. There still is the hostages, close to 200 hostages. Some are Americans. There's a rumor that women and children will be let go, but only if they're not Israeli. So will the hostages come back? The videos that are being put out are videos of some of the hostages when they were taken. Nobody knows. There's no time stamps on them because, remember, now we've had some time between you have a sister who's 8, another sister who's 16. You have a 16-year-old girl. You get the picture. You got families. You got older people. It is crazy. This is spilling out all over the place. I mean, all over the place. And even Macron is saying that Europe is seeing a rise in Islamist terrorism and all states are threatened. So this is the French president said this during a visit to Albania after an Islamist killing of a teacher in France and 2 Swedish football fans in Belgium, saying that we got some things to look at here. We got some problems that are happening. Every day there is a different twist to what's going on in Israel, around Israel, and even growing in so many other areas. Just a quick one here. Israeli tanks, it's interesting. They added, because we're seeing how the Ukraine-Russia situation is, you know, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, how it's become such a drone war. Israeli tanks are mobilized outside Gaza. They've got overhead cages to protect against attack drones. It's something that they modified because of what they saw that was happening in Ukraine. So it's these hardened protective screens. They call them coke cages. So it's a barrier from aerial strikes, causing explosives to detonate before they can seriously damage the tanks or harm any of the crew. I think that's so, so incredibly smart. All right, stay with us. I'll meet you on the flip side for odds and ends.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Odds and ends. What else is happening in the world? So much focus on what's happened in the 7+ days of what we've seen of the atrocities in Israel, the devastation, and now what is going to happen and how deep is America going to go into this. And, of course, we don't have a Speaker of the House. There's going to be another vote. Does Jim Jordan, the congressman from Ohio, have enough to take the gavel? He's calling for unity among Republicans. Right now he doesn't have it, but he may have it on Wednesday, because can we really take another 15-vote act after Kevin McCarthy? I don't think so. And then that's the whole no-confidence thing that would not be good. But right now it's been over 15 days without a Speaker of the House. You think of the chain of command: President, VP, Speaker of the House, right? Yes. When you think about who takes over if something happens to the president, oh my gosh, and we have no speaker, no speaker whatsoever. Going down a couple of different roads, because driving around, I heard this. Taylor Swift. Everything is about Taylor Swift these days. Even Saturday Night Live came back, and there was a great skit about the Fox guys, and they were talking about Taylor Swift, and then Travis Kelce made a cameo appearance. Apparently she made some sort of appearance too. But it's this movie. She has the Eras movie. How brilliant, right? Everybody wants to go see this concert that cost a gazillion dollars, or at least fathers are taking young daughters, they're taking friends, you get it. This Eras film has set box office concert movie records. When was the last time you went to the movies to see a concert? So Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour, raked in $96 million, really it's closer to $100 million in the box office in the U.S. and Canada. That's what AMC is saying. Highest grossing concert film domestically, and period, one of the highest grossing films. It's going to just keep climbing. It's just going to keep on climbing. And then there is the delicateness of what is the etiquette at a movie when you go to watch and see this concert, but you have people screaming, people talking, people on their phones. Wait, I can't hear that song. What did she just say? I can't hear the song because everybody's on their phones. I just don't get it. I don't get it. But this is the phenomenon. This is the phenomenon of the year. So there you go. Should I be surprised that that's how much it made? Are you surprised by this world record, just for the odds and ends of it? Chili Pepper X has now captured the spicy record as the world's hottest, according to Guinness. The new pepper rates an average of 2.69 million Scoville heat units. There is such a thing, SHU, according to the tests that were performed by Winthrop University in South Carolina, beating the previous record holder, Carolina Reaper. That was a hot one. I remember that one, which averaged 1.64 million SHUs. That's how they measure it. That's how the whole chili pepper heat thing is measured. You know what? I like hot. Pepper X, by the way, is grown in South Carolina. In fact, the guy who created the Carolina Reaper created this Pepper X as well. He does this cultivating on his farm. He crossbreeds it with other hot peppers. What I love about it is this Ed Curie guy. You know what the name of his pepper company is? Pucker Butt Pepper Company. Pepper X from Pucker Butt Pepper Company in South Carolina. I dare you to say that fast 10 times and see what happens. Hot is my friend. A lot of people don't like hot, but I get jalapenos on lots of things. I think they taste good. They have to be sliced thin, not these giant, thick, awful slices. But if they're sliced thin and they're put like in a burrito bowl or something, oh, the best. You just have to go to the right place to get that. But if you do, yeah, it just tops it off. There's no doubt about it. China, we were talking about China in the beginning of the first hour. Grimm called in and he was mentioning China's military. He and I talked about that for every year as we watched it grow. How about China's economy? China's economy expanded by almost 5% in the third quarter compared to a year ago. This is all from the National Bureau of Statistics. The figure was higher than the estimated 4.4 growth from a Reuters poll of economists. So it increased. They have shot up. Isn't that interesting? Everything going the way of China. Because for a while, they had hit a few bumps. Let's just put it that way. Hit a few bumps. The auto workers, they're not hitting any bumps. A CNN poll says Americans overwhelmingly side with the auto workers in the ongoing union strike. They did a little poll. What did the poll show? They asked about the current UAW workers and those that were on strike against General Motors, Ford, Stellantis. Americans sided about 3-1 with the union. 76% say their sympathies lie more with the workers on strike, just 23% with the employers. Are you shocked by that? No, you're not shocked by that. Because they're hearing the stories of how long are they on their feet, what are they getting paid, and then they hear about the gazillion dollars the C-suite people make. I mean, we live in a capitalistic society. If somebody is crushing it at the top to make revenues rise, I get it. But then when you're talking about what are their percentages and what else is happening and what is the gap, and I think when you hear about the gap is the thing that will easily make somebody turn. And then you hear about the conditions for taking breaks, how long they're working. You mix all that into the pot, and it's not shocking to me that we would see that most people would agree, or a big chunk of people would agree with the workers. Well, somebody has money to spend, though, and they're not all the filthy, filthy rich, because U.S. retail sales rose in September for the sixth straight month. Yeah, what is that about? They're adjusted for the seasons, but not inflation. Grew almost 1% in September from the prior month, slightly below August's revised gain, but it's the sixth straight in a row. The rise in consumer prices, inflation-adjusted retail sales up. Food, all of that, mixed all of that into this. Online sales and car purchases were big. Very, very, very big. The U.S. economy is widely expected to lose some momentum in the next couple of months, including a weaker job market and softer consumer spending, which accounts for about two-thirds, did you know this, of economic output. Look, we've had 11 rate hikes, higher bond yields, fatigue, challenging. A lot of people challenged by what we're seeing on the landscape. And it's looking into the horizon, it's kind of like a needle that's moving in a few different directions, right? What happens when you have a side hustle? Nothing. I was like the queen of, that's what they dubbed me. I was like the queen of the side hustle. Then it eventually it seemed like, wow, what am I doing? Where am I going next? So Goldman Sachs chief executive, David Solomon, had a side gig. You know what a side gig was? I'm so serious about this. DJ D Soul. I mean, he had his name. And he would perform at a lot of high-profile events, whether it was like a Wall Street thing or a South Beach thing. He was doing it. He would show up, and he had that alias, and he started spinning tracks at festivals and at nightclubs. He said he stumbled into it as a hobby, and he just was doing it for fun. So that doesn't really count as a side hustle to me, because he's just doing it for fun. The hobby led to bigger things, like Sports Illustrated. Look, he was the DJ for Sports Illustrated Super Bowl party last year. Are you kidding me? He played at a big festival in Chicago alongside Metallica and Green Day and some other bands. So anyway, he had to step aside because of the outside attention to it, that it just was too much attention, so he had to give up DJ De Soul. Headed to the authors next.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Israel is revealing what it describes as an extensive tunnel network beneath Gaza City constructed by Hamas. According to Israeli officials, the network includes command and control centers, meeting rooms, and hideouts for top Hamas leaders. However, Israel has not confirmed reports about the initiation of seawater pumping into these tunnels. The head of Colorado State GOP says Colorado Republicans will ignore any results of the state's GOP primary if former President Trump isn't on the ballot there.
Then we're going to say, okay, fine. We're going to ignore whatever results you cook up because we don't think it's fair. as long as Donald Trump's off that ballot. So we will just elect delegates however we want through the caucus at the State Assembly on the 6th.
Colorado Republican Party Chair David Williams spoke with KUSA TV in Denver. Dave Collins, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Cue the maraschino cherry. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
And other supernatural tales of the sage. Brian Keith Day, the author, joins us here in Author's Corner here in America tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And he has such an interesting background. And this book is fascinating because you can, it's one of those books where you get into the story and then you can move on to the next. And Brian and I had a great off-air conversation. And if we lived near each other, he'd be one of my favorite people for a couple of different reasons. Not just the writing, but making a living installing and servicing heating and air conditioning equipment. I can't tell you how much I would need an insider on that. And so he's also an insider on people and all that knowledge that goes into what can pour out into any kind of a novel or any kind of a story. So, Brian, thanks for coming on.
You bet.
Tell me what it was that led you to writing this, to pulling this together.
Well, first off, it's an anthology of, I think, four short stories in a longer work novella, about 100 pages, called Red Horse. The Red Horse story was inspired by one of the many service calls I do in my line of work. Many years ago, I went into a house where there was an elderly couple. And this is Wyoming, and we're actually in Native American Central here. There's just across the border in Montana, there's a Crow Indian Reservation and a Northern Cheyenne Reservation. This is where the right near where the Custer Battlefield and the Fetterman massacre occurred. So this gentleman and this older couple had been collecting for many years Indian paraphernalia. He had war bonnets and tanyards and the breastplates and many, many Indian artifacts that he had collected throughout his house. And, of course, this fascinated me while I was supposedly doing my job. And when I got done with my service call, I talked to him about all these artifacts, and he said, well, did you see the skulls? And I thought, skulls, what are you talking about? So he took me downstairs, and here on a shelf were two human skulls, quite old and weathered. And one of them had a bullet hole in the forehead, and of course the back of it blown out. And the other one was even more grisly. The whole top of the cranium had been not just scalped, but totally removed, so it was more like a bowl. And I thought, wow. And, of course, now this is way before the days of political correctness, and he'd been collecting them forever. So he probably purchased or found these from people who were willing to part with them. So anyway, I said, having also noticed they were pretty religious people in the house, I said, do these skulls ever bother you that they're in this house? And he said, no, but I had one that I collected in pieces many years ago. And ever since I'd had that skull, it always seemed like someone was in the room watching me all the time. And ultimately, he gave it to a friend, and he asked the friend later on how he was getting along with that skull. And the friend said, you know, ever since I had that in my house, it seemed like somebody was always watching me. So I basically disposed of it somewheres along the line. So in my devious mind over time, I devised a story called Red Horse out of this experience. And it was going to be a short story, but it kept growing, so it ran about 100 pages. And the two skulls that this character has began to compete with each other for control of he and his wife. And I kind of like it. I think it reflects the area of Sheridan, Wyoming, and this area maybe a little more than the Longmire series does. I've met Craig Johnson. He's a neighbor in Wyoming. He's probably 50 or 60 miles away, so he's kind of a neighbor. But so that's where that one came from. The other stories have similar backgrounds of experiences I've had and so on.
And that, which is so great, that's why I said you could pick it up at any point. The four short stories, as you said, and the novella that you've written based on some of the things you saw is fascinating to hear about Red Horse. And we won't go into all of them, but this one also got me excited because I love the idea of haunted things. And you've got Good for the Gander, and you said that that kind of popped into your mind when you were traveling through this golf course, something local, and this development, this real estate area for people who had money, and then when the McMansions closed up, boom, that kind of triggered that in you. Was that fun to write? And tell us a little more about that story.
Well, this happened around 2000-2008, the real estate crash. There is a golf resort development in this area. It probably has 27 holes of golf or more. Fairly well-to-do people build large houses around it. The real estate is sold through that whole development. And, of course, around 2007-2008, I did a lot of work in there, and many of these places were closed up suddenly or for sale. So I'm driving around doing what few service calls I have in the area in a ghost town. And again, in my fertile mind, I'm thinking, wow, this would be really neat if some of these were haunted at different times. You could have whole different settings. So that became the story, Good for the Gander. Golf courses generally attract Canadian geese to them in large numbers because of the waterworks. So that's where the gander reference comes from in that. My stories generally, modern stories seem to be more vignettes than character sketches often. And I'm old school. I think a story should have a beginning, a climax, and an ending. So most of my stories run 20 or 30 pages, and a person can probably read them in an evening, one at a time or whatever, and get the whole thing complete in this modern hectic life we have now. Perhaps that's better for some people than something that runs 300 pages.
Boy, isn't that true. And I like how you describe that, the modern hectic life that we have. And I'm sure a lot of people listening to us can relate to it. And I also like that, as you said, you're old school, and where you take us in the beginning, you give us that great beginning, the climax, and then, boom, we get the payoff at the end. You don't leave us hanging. I call it leaving people hanging, and you absolutely don't do that. So now, you know, you've written another book. You published a nonfiction book, too, called Wyoming Trivia. Was that fun to write that one as well?
That's kind of what really got me started. Now, that was with a full-scale publisher called Riverbend Publishing, and that was well, I don't know, 10 years or more ago. That was actually, that publishing company was bought out by Roman and Littlefield, I think it's pronounced. And so that gave me an experience in what it is to actually write something dictated to you by a publisher, an editor, and then go through the whole process of getting the manuscript done, having it gone through, making corrections and proofs and so on, and then waiting for them to publish it.
Yeah, so, exactly.
They were actually supposed to publish it on 1 year, and they delayed it because they had some other project, and I had to wait another year, so that's learning by experience there. That was a little enlightening.
Yeah, different too, right? And coming up with trivia questions and trivia and what that's all about, and talking about Wyoming, and there's so much rich history there. I love that you mentioned Longmire, which was one of my favorite series and really made me want to go to Wyoming, and I think people can relate to that because of some of the beautiful country that you're in the middle of, and that would just spur on so many stories. And again, the name of the book, Red Horse and Other Supernatural Tales of the Sage. For you, was this really fun, Brian, to pull this all together, these stories?
Yes, I enjoyed it. A lot of those stories were published individually in like small actual anthologies and so on. There was one that was out of Canada called All Hallows. I don't think that's still in publication. And another one out of England called Supernatural Tales. They had a couple of those published in them. And some other ones were done in e-zines, e-magazines. And then I had written the Red Horse story, which was lengthy. And I'm going, geez, I've got 250 pages here. I think I'll write another one, which is where the story in there called Gold of Deadwood came to kind of fill that out. So I wanted to try the, for lack of a better term, vanity publishing a little bit, self-publishing. So I did that, published it, and got that experience, and now we're moving forward with it. So, yeah, I did enjoy putting them all together. It's kind of nice to have a book in your hand that's got your name on it and your stories in it.
Yeah, and as I said to you, I mean, a lot of people talk about doing it, but you actually did it. And you said it along the way, but what do you hope people take away that are listening to this interview? They pick up your book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. What do you hope they take away from reading Red Horse and Other Supernatural Tales of the Sage?
Boy, I guess expanding their imagination. There's some things in there. The Red Horse story, which is more lengthy, there's a little bit in there where I get into a little bit of a philosophy, but not much. I try not to preach to people. But most of them, it's just a good old spook story, good old ghost story. Not a lot of terrible, grisly stuff going on in there. I'm not like a Stephen King book or something, but good stories, good old stories. I was a Ray Bradbury fan. In fact, one of the stories in there is related to Ray Bradbury stories. And again, he's old school. You get a beginning, a climax, and an ending in there, and some kind of poignant food for thought, usually. So I guess that's what I'm trying to do, is follow in those old footsteps of good old solid stories that go somewhere.
There you go. Good storytelling. Brian Keith Day, what a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck, and thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you very much.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter @KateSDelaney. @KateSDelaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-9090. 2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Joins us now. He's in our virtual green room, as I like to say, and he's written a couple of books: Nightmare, What If, an anthology of 13 short stories. He's going to give us the analogy. Kerry, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you very much, Kate. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm excellent. So, tell me what it was that drove you to writing these books, and I think future books as well.
Well, it's ironically, my first two children illustrated books in 2006. I was writing children's books. And then a few years later, my mom developed Alzheimer's. And after she passed in complications, I wrote my first short story called Wilma in 2013. And I haven't stopped. So that's what I've been doing. And Nightmare is one of my latest and greatest, and I'm really excited and thrilled because I got some really incredible feedback from readers. And it's actually a psychological thriller, but it's also a love story between a husband and wife, you know, and best friends from high school and family. And I always enjoy writing about the unknown, you know, the unexplained and the paranormal. And especially dreams and nightmares, they've always fascinated mankind, and there are many theories on what dreams mean and what they can really tell us. And actually, after I wrote Wilma, I wrote a second story called The Dream, about a father-husband who loses his wife immediately at the beginning of the book, or the story, and he has the one eerie dream over and over. But Nightmare's my baby, I love it, and it begins with a 34-year-old woman named Jeanette. And she's spending a regular Friday night with four of her best friends from high school in their favorite bar in downtown Seattle, Washington, and having drinks and appetizers and sharing each other's previous week. And after returning home early in the morning, she walks quietly in the house and she does not wake her husband and goes to bed. And then she has the most vivid, gruesome nightmare ever experienced in her life. And over a period of the next 2 weeks, the rest of the story turns into a living nightmare with the support of her husband, Nick, and her friends. To help, you know, determine what's causing these these realistic nightmares that ultimately merge her reality in the dream world. She goes through dream therapy, blood work done, MRI scan, and actually REM sleep, rapid eye movement, in a dream sleep therapy clinic that actually exists in Seattle. The whole story is you're living her nightmare. You're reading through her eyes and her mind, you know, experience the shock and the total confusion she has over the next couple of weeks. And I guess I wanted the reader to experience everything that she's going through. So I made it a little confusing to read because you're in her eyes, reading, living her life. And literally not until the final chapter is the true ferocity revealed. And I love that because every review book person that's reviewed it said the same thing. So I accomplished my goal.
You know, it is so great. You're right about the whole idea of nightmares. And what do nightmares mean? It makes you think about this. What about past things that have happened to you? What about the future? And I'm someone who dreams, so I get that. And in just kind of a little synopsis of your book, I read a great line. Those who choose to live in their dreams exist in their nightmares. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and that stuck with me. That was actually kind of a byline title, you know, secondary title, working title, and I thought, what the heck, I'm going to leave it in there.
I'm curious for you. So we're speaking with Carrie O'Neill, and we're talking about one of his books, Nightmare, and I agree, this was your ninth book. This is a really interesting book. It takes you on an interesting ride. Do you have nightmares? Do you have dreams?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've had, you know, literally everybody has dreams and nightmares every night, whether they remember them or not. That's just a fact. And I've always been a dreamer of colorful dreams. I always dream in color, which amazes me. But, you know, it's just like one of those things, you wake up and you're like, why did I dream that? You know, is it a random thought theory or is there some basis to it, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's generated something that's going to happen or something tragic in your life. In the past that you're trying to deal with in your sleep because you can't deal with it when you're awake. I mean, yeah, I think it all includes everybody.
And so you said it. You want listeners that are listening to this and readers to take away that exactly what you just said and what you've talked about this story.
Right. And actually, in everything I've written, Kate, I like leaving the reader with an unexpected ending. Most of the time, a happy ending. Or something they can at least relate to in their own lives. Like I'll generate a story with a one-page outline, you know, the genre, synopsis, characters, and my objective. And literally after finishing one or two chapters, I usually write the end of the book, and then I fill in the middle. I don't know. It just makes it easier for me to do that because I always have an ultimate goal I'm reaching, you know, at the end of the story.
Yeah.
And in every story, I try to make it so realistic. Everything I've written, I'll research the location, time period, statistical data, or even creatures and plants relevant to the story.
Yeah.
So although they're fictional, there's a lot of authentic information throughout each one to make it more, you know, more believable that way.
Yeah, that's what makes your writing so strong, so good. And I want to make sure we give attention to this, too. What if an anthology of 13 short stories? So tell me about this.
Well, that's like with the one I wrote for my mom in the dream and 11 other short stories. Just basically, every story answers the conceptual question, what if? What if a cat had nine lives? There's a story called Nine Lives. What if, you know, a dog could help you, you know, heal after a tragic in your family? That literally happens. But it's all, you know, just basically all that gobbled together, anything that simply asks the question, what if? And then the publisher, you know, advised me, why don't you down the road submit these into a second edition with some other short stories, specific genres? So I wrote, you know, Tales of Horror. I wrote during the pandemic. I've been writing. I finished a collection of inspirational tales, which is literally a collection of inspirational tales. And I think that's, you know, important, especially during the times we went through and anytime anybody feels down or depressed.
Yeah.
And, you know, wrote a couple of gothic horrors, a werewolf novel and a vampire novel. And I'm writing two novels at the same time and a short story. And I like to do that because it helps me avoid writer's block, Kate. So, you know, when I get stuck in one plot, I just simply switch to the other story and then I'll come back to the other one later.
Yeah. Do you have a? It's so interesting to hear you say that. I love that. I've never heard anyone say that, but it makes sense to me because then you're right. You don't have that thing in your mind where you're getting writer's block. Do you have a ritual of like where you like to write or when you like to write or no?
Well, the ritual is usually in the morning, in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and I'll dream and I'll remember something that's relevant to something I'm writing. Or not really any specific time except when it pops in my head and I feel like sitting down. I want to get it down on paper before, as we all go, well, I forgot what I was going to say, you know. So I write it down. But, no, that's about it. And I put all these into different categories, but now I just run with it. You know, I have several other outlines written. I haven't started stories yet. I'm writing now one called Voice. I started a short story about a woman living alone in the wilderness. And she begins hearing a voice calling out her name in the dense forest surrounding her house. And I'm not even sure where I'm going with that. I've written two pages of it and haven't determined what's going to happen. But it'll all come to me.
Yeah.
Whatever time of the day or night.
I love it. I love it. Do you have, is there somebody that you, because I know you were a big reader. Is there somebody that inspired you with their kind of writing?
Well, I always liked Michael Crichton. I like Michael Crichton. I love Anne Rice. I like gothic horror. I grew up watching the Hammer films, you know, and that's why I went ahead and did my Reign of Adolphe werewolf novel and Winter Predator Dies a Vampire novel. And with those two novels, they take place in the Middle Ages during the same period, during the bubonic plague. And in each story, there's a chapter called Crossing Paths, and they have the same chapter, and they talk about meeting each other in the catacombs of Paris, France, underneath the Notre Dame. And now I'm writing a sequel to the werewolf novel. But I just recently, did a website, and my website's just easy, CarrieO'NeillAuthor.com, and explains everything. They can take you directly to where you can read more about each story or book and purchase them off Amazon. That seems to be the quickest way right now.
Yeah, CarrieO'Neill.com.
Okay, CarrieO'NeillAuthor.
CarrieO'NeillAuthor.com. So remember that, everybody listening. I can't wait to see what comes next. I'm fascinated by werewolves, so I'm anxious to see what comes up next with you.
Oh, thank you. I hope anybody that likes gothic horror like that, please read those or check them out because
it all sounds good to me. Carrie O'Neill, again, the books Nightmare, What If, an anthology of 13 short stories, and as he said, you can go on his website. I'll say it again, CarrieO'NeillAuthor.com. Fascinating the way he writes. I love it. And thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.